That was a beautiful praise team, right? They took us to another level today and worshiped the Lord. Awesome job. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so awesome to be in your house. Such a privilege to sit here. And Father, I pray that we would just open our hearts and our eyes to you. Listen to your message, Father. Be obedient to your word. Lord, I just pray that we praise you. And we're so grateful and so loving towards you and others, Lord, that you're smiling down on us. And I'm so happy I'm your child. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to be in chapter 5, verse 33 through 37. And I'm reading out of the NIV. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oath that you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. I also want to read it out of the message. And don't say anything you don't mean. This council is embedded deep in our tradition. You only make things worse when you lay down a smoke screen of pious talk, saying, I'll pray for you and never doing it. Amen. Or saying, God be with you, and you don't mean it. Amen. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Amen. Just say yes and no. And when you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. Amen. Here Jesus is emphasizing the importance of telling the truth. People were breaking vows and using sacred language casually and carelessly. Keeping vows and promises is important. It builds trust and makes commitment human relationship possible. The Bible condemns making vows or taking oaths casually, giving your word while knowing that you won't keep it, or swearing falsely in the name of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. We hear this happen every day, even from Christians. As Christians, we are trying hard not to use bad words. So we substitute them with other words, not meaning to be disrespectful. For example, when you see something you don't like, instead of cussing, you say, oh, Jesus, or oh, God, look at that. That's worse than cussing. You need to take that out of your vocabulary. Those people don't understand that when you use God's name and Jesus' name, it's in reverence. I was told, the only time you use God's name, when you're praying, when you're praising, when you're thanking him, and when you're testifying about him to others. Amen. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Numbers chapter 31 through 2. Moses said to the heads of the tribe of Israel, this is what the Lord commands. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, He must not break his word, but must do everything he says. Vows were common, but Jesus told his followers not to use them. Their word alone should be enough. In James chapter 5, verse 12, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. We're going to talk about the words we use and the honesty we carry and the integrity we live with. Professor Curtis Vaughn wrote, "One mere word should be as trustworthy as a signed agreement attested by a legal witness." Most of us have heard these sayings, "I swear to God it's true," or "as heaven is my witness," "I'm dying if I'm lying," "I swear on my mother's grave," "May lightning strike me if I'm lying." I wouldn't use that one. You might get struck. I don't know if I test God on that one. Why does our word matter so much? Have you ever experienced the pain of a broken promise? Maybe a parent promised to come to your baseball games, but for the third time they didn't show. Your spouse broke their wedding vow to you. They promised to love you forever and stay faithful to you, but they did not, and they left you for someone else. Maybe someone you trust let you down. A business partner stole the money from the company and left town. Or you told your best friend a personal secret, and they told others. Or maybe we have been the one to break our word and hurt someone, and now we've tarnished our word. We have all broken promises to God. How many times when you did something bad, you made a promise to God if he would only bail you out, help you not get caught at what you did, "I'll go to church more, God. I'll be faithful in tithing. I'll stop lying if I don't get caught in that lie. I'll stop swearing. If I don't get that DUI, I'll never drink or do drugs again." This is my favorite one. "I'll stop cutting school if I don't get caught when I get home." And that was me, okay. But here's the problem. 90% of the time, we are not serious. And we broke our promise to God and let him down. Why does the word matter? One of the most important things we can leave our children is a name with a good reputation and stands for integrity. Have you ever known a family where the dad lied and cheated people in the community, and when their children got old enough to look for a job, they couldn't get one because of their dad's reputation? Yes. I knew a family that had 16 children from the same mom and dad. And they were poor. The dad was mean to the boys and the wife, and they had three girls and 13 boys. The first five boys caused so much trouble in town, from fighting, stealing, rape, stabbing. When the younger boys got old enough to work, their last name hurt them. The only chance they had was to leave town and move somewhere else. Children learn from their parents' actions, not their words. Today, when I was in school, my sister was a year 16 months older than I was. And when she was in seventh grade, I was in sixth grade. And then when she moved to eighth grade, I come to seventh grade. My sister Linda was one of those perfect childs, very quiet, did her work, never argued, perfect child. So when they got me, they're like, "Oh, you're Linda Lane's sister." And I go, "Yeah." They go, "Oh, she's such a sweetheart. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, after the seventh grade, moving on, my younger sister, Juanita, went to the same junior high, and they go, okay, are you Linda? Are you Kathy? Who are you like? And she goes, Linda. I was a terrible child. So things like that follow in families. No matter if it's good, it's good. If it's not so good, it's not so good. Our words have the ability to build up others, to encourage them, or to hurt others and discourage them. We can bring life or death into our relationships. We can build bridges or we can build walls. Whether you keep or break your vow, it shapes relationships. You can either build them stronger relationship by keeping your word, or you can break the trust they had in you by not keeping your word. Everything we say or do affects everyone around us. When you swear an oath by God and breaking it, we make God a liar. God never lied. He always kept his oath and promises. When we are faithful in our word, we show the world that the God we serve can be trusted. There are times when we will have to take an oath in court or in the military. The point is not the words, I swear, but rather that you are affirming your God-given responsibility and truthfulness and fulfilling your responsibility. If you get a summons to go to court and you know in your heart you're a person who cannot find somebody guilty, you can't sit there and watch the pictures that they show in some certain cases, murder cases and stuff, they show you really terrible pictures you might have to look at, and you can't do that. Instead of taking an oath and sitting there, just tell them, please, can you excuse me? I'm not one that can sentence somebody to death. I'm not one that can look at these pictures. Be honest. And then pray that they'll release you. I took an oath one time. Yeah, for the problem said. I took an oath in court one time, and I lied to protect my sister. This was before I was serving the Lord. And I feel bad about it now, because I should have said, I'm sorry, I'll take the fifth or whatever, and no is no. But I didn't. If you're against war, then don't take an oath. Ask to be released from duty in the military, or give you a position where you don't have to carry a gun and take somebody's life. You should never take an oath flippantly. Remember, when you swear, you are bringing God in as a partner. Everything you swear on belongs to God. It doesn't belong to you anyway. Amen. You know? So just remember, there's nothing here that you have or own or anything that you can say, I swear on, because this doesn't belong to you. I made a promise once without thinking about what it could involve. It was just starting my compassionate ministry, so eager to serve God. There was a lady in the church, she was a member, and she was sick, but she was afraid of doctors and hospitals. And a friend in the church asked me if I would go talk to Doris and ask her to go see a doctor. She said no. So, being immature in the ministry and stuff, I told her, I promise you, Doris, I will be with you all the way. I thought they would run some tests, give her some medicine, and send her home. Doris didn't have any family here. Her family was up in age, and they lived in Idaho. It turned out that Doris was very sick. She had cancer everywhere. And I thank God I had a family who were supportive of my ministry from the beginning. Doris was in the hospital 52 days. I stayed with her until she passed, except to go home and shower and change clothes. I'm glad I could stay with her and help her, but if my family wasn't understanding, it could have caused a lot of problems. What I should have said is, I'll be here as much as I can. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We must be consistent in following through, doing what we said. And I'm so thankful that I could do that. Because when I was a teenager, that was a different story. Let your words be yes or your words be no. Tell the truth. Don't lie. When I was a teenager, I thought life was all about fun and games and doing what I wanted to do. And when my parents wouldn't let me do anything, I thought they were just keeping me from having fun because my other friends were doing, they were having fun. So I would lie to my parents. I'd tell my mom, I'm going to go spend the night at my friend Kathy's house. And their instruction, okay, you stay there, you don't go, you know, go, don't go anywhere. And the first thing we did, go down the main, dragging the main. And I get caught, of course. And just stupid things I would do. Well, it got to the point my parents didn't believe me. I had hurt, you know, they didn't believe me at all. But when I would try to tell the truth and be telling the truth, I'd get this grin on my face like, I'm telling the truth, don't you believe me? And they didn't believe me, and I had to prove it. So your words matter. Your reputation matters. I thank God he changed me. And my parents got to see the change and everything, but it matters. If you say you'll be somewhere, be there.
Amen.
If you say you'll do something, then do it. Develop the kind of reputation that someone can just automatically count on. When you say it, they believe it, and they know you're going to do it. Say what you mean what you say, is called integrity. If you promise someone and you get sick, you can't make it, call them. People understand. Things happen. Don't just not show up and leave them hanging.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong in calling and saying, I'm sorry, I can't make it. This popped up. What if I've already developed the reputation of not being a person of my word? How can I rebuild my reputation? First, ask God to forgive you. And he will if you're serious. Ask for forgiveness from those whose trust you have lost. Begin today to live a life of integrity by the Holy Spirit. In the flesh, we don't really care about an integrity. Read your Bible. Follow Jesus' example of how to treat others, and you will never fail. It will take time because trust is earned, and it takes time to overcome the past and distrust you have created. Put yourself out there. If you see someone needing help, go over and help without being asked. Others will see how God is changing you. It will be hard, but it's so worth being a person of his or her word. The good news is that as people see what happens in your life, it will be a wonderful testimony of the life-changing power of God. Because only God can do it.
Amen.
We all need to learn how to say no say no, no, and not feel guilty about it. This is so hard because we want to please everyone. We can't and are not called to do everything. But what we are called to do or agree to do, we must do it in a way that honors God, not a halfway job. It's okay if somebody asks you to do something and you're not at the position to say yes, but you don't want to say no. So you can say, let me pray about it and let me get back to you. Or may I need to check with my spouse to see if they have not got something other planned that I don't know about it. And there's going to be times that you're going, it's okay, you're going to say no. And then show up because things change. It's better to say no and do it than to say yes and not do it. Amen. Recognize the impact of your word. Every word we speak has the potential to affect others. We need to be mindful of this. We need to take a moment and think before we speak. Pray constantly that our lives would reflect God's love for all his children, and we speak life in our words and action to others. Amen. There's no greater joy than serving someone, but it has to be with the right heart. So sometimes when you say, yes, I'll do it, and you go and you do it, and you really didn't want to, you're not doing it with joy and love in your heart. You're doing it out of obligation because you said yes, but you really didn't want to be there. And that's not what God wants. God wants a servant heart that it just, you don't even have to ask someone. You're right there saying, can I help you? The other day, Pam and I was at Costco. And after shopping, we decided we were going to have a hot dog. So we went and sat down at this table and had to hurry and sit down because there's not very many rooms there. So the table was nasty. Pam and I was here. Then there was a Spanish couple over here with two boys. And the table was dirty. Well, she got up and got some paper towels and water. Pam was in line getting the hot dogs. And she came over and she wiped her table down. Then she came over and was on the half of my table. I says, if you give me the paper towel, I'll clean this up. She goes, no, let me clean it up for you. She cleaned it up for me, and then she went and got her purse and got some hand sanitizer, poured it on the table, and wiped that down too, and then she got some paper towels and dried it. And I'm thinking, she got a servant heart. I said, thank you. I couldn't believe it. That's what we need to be. Marty's got that heart. It's amazing. But that's what we need to be like. We see something that we can help others, do it. Bless them. It blessed me. I could have done it myself. But for somebody to care enough to clean up that mess and didn't know me, it blessed me. And it just shows the love of God in her. She didn't even have to speak it. When we serve others, who do they see? God or the world in our actions? Are our words and actions honoring God? Are we joyful in what we do? Do we let God's light shine through us when, like, if you did that, somebody would think, they love God. They're a servant. You know? That's what we don't want people to see Kathy, Loopy. When Loopy's up here singing, Janet's up and singing, you see the love they have for the Lord. You know? It's not, I'm here performing for you. Do I sound good? Am I acting? No. They're singing, and they're singing to the Lord. You can see it in their expression. Loopy, I mean, she has tears. She is so worshiping the Lord. She doesn't care. Janet's always grin and she weeps and she just worships the Lord and you feel it. That's what I want others to feel whenever we get involved, whatever we do for them. Not us, but the love of God reaching out to them. Jesus isn't saying we can never promise or make a commitment. Because nowadays, if you want a house or you want a car, you're going to have to sign a contract promising to make those payments. Instead, he is emphasizing the importance of integrity in our words. When you say something, it should be true and reliable. Amen. Without needing to invoke God or other things to validate the claim. If we are honest and trustworthy in our everyday speech, we won't need to resort to an oath. Are we people of our word? Do we speak truthfully and consistently, or do we embellish or manipulate the truth to get what we want? Now, it's okay to tell the fish stories, you know, when it's about this big, and but it winds up the fish story. That's okay. Everybody, but I'm. For me to stand here and say, I'm the best speaker, I'm the most intelligent, I never make a mistake, look at me. He'd probably strike me dead with lightning, okay? Not true. I'm human like everybody else. I make mistakes. I'm not better than anybody. I love everybody. What I want is for God to see, be seen through me in my actions and not me, because I'm going to make mistakes. As in the world, where dishonesty and manipulation can be rampant, Jesus' words offer a powerful alternative by striving to be honest and reliable in all our interactions. We can build trust, stronger relationship, and live with great integrity. This teaching challenges us to reflect on our own speech and actions. Have you ever walked away from a conversation and said, that wasn't nice, I shouldn't have said that? You know, I didn't need to be, you need to be honest with love, and I was honest with brutal talk, you know. Or, I embellished on this, you know. I put down maybe I made so much money a month, but I actually made a little less than that. But I rounded it off to look better at this amount. Everybody at one time or another has done this. But God is asking us to be truthful and honest. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And don't be guilty about either one. We serve a mighty God. A God that sees all our imperfect flaws. But he sees our heart and he knows we love him and we're trying. But there's a lot of times we walk out that door without taking God with us. And that's when we mess up. We got to take him with us no matter where we're at. And if we fill out a contract and put the honest truth down and we don't get that car or whatever, that's okay. Because you're right with God. And better things come with that than that car. Yeah. It is your choice. No one can make you Be a person of honesty and truth and integrity. You're only going to be that person through God with the Holy Spirit living in you and you listening. That's the hardest part, is to listen to that tiny little voice that's saying, that wasn't quite right, was it, Kathy? Well, most of it, but maybe not all of it. Listen. Give it all to the Lord. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're about to do. And if you ask him and say, Lord, just be with me and don't let anything dishonest come out of my mouth, but as truthful as possible. Would the praise team come back up and close this?